I started really thinking about what does the environment mean. So I looked it up in a dictionary. It means what surrounds you. When you protect what surrounds you, it will allow you to not only be proud of what you've done, protective of what you've done, you'll eventually, like a little pebble in a pond, you'll see the ripple effect. Now we have the science. We get to reinvent everything. I do believe this is an unstoppable movement. I guess Earth Day's very much different in the sense that we deeply believe that everybody has a right to a decent environment, to one that you're not born into one where you're automatically destined for lung cancer or skin cancer or whatever it is because you don't have trees in your neighborhood or you have a power plant in your backyard. One of our challenges is how do we, as a movement, and everybody who does something for the environment, keep that momentum going? And so that, I think, is the biggest challenge that we face inside Earth Day, is what do we do the day after Earth Day?
Kathleen.
How nice to see you.
Welcome to my show.
It is your show, actually. It is absolutely your show. I think we're just here for kind of comedic relief on a good day.
Well, that's, yeah. That's right. my whole reason for being, I think.
Is it?
Yeah. Right. Chaos is the world I live in. You get to be a guest.
Okay, I'll try. I'm not very good at that. No. I'm not very good at guesting. It is an honor and a privilege to have you on the show.
It really is.
It really is. And I can't wait to dive into your personal history and some of the crazy stories I know that you have.
Oh, I have so many.
That's the best part.
During your tenure at Earth Day, which I think is fair to say still is and still remains the predominant festival or celebration of Mother Earth and sustainability today, what would you say has been one of the most pivotal moments in your career that maybe just changed the way you think about yourself or the world?
I really like the question. I've had, I went to law school after living a very interesting life, working in television, political campaigns, cleaning houses, learning to play the violin when everyone used to bang on my door and ask me to stop. I worked for a couple of Olympic committees, created at a very young age, opened a bakery in Lake Placid, New York, with someone from the luge team, the U.S. luge team. And I, by the way, tried out for the luge team, and thankfully I was not on the team or I'd be dead because I was so bad at it. But it is, by the way, a really scary sport. But I plugged away. And so I went to law school and eventually, and that was a little serendipitous too. It was like, okay, well, I've cleaned houses, played the violin, opened a bakery, worked in television news, did political campaigns, worked in a museum. I went through this laundry list and thought, oh, I'll become a lawyer. There we go. And I had a lot of them in my family, but so I ended up going to law school, graduating, and somehow ended up editor-in-chief of my law review and was lucky enough to get a clerkship after law school, which is really tough. And I didn't just get an ordinary clerkship. I got in the Federal District of Columbia. And so I came here, you know, not ever thinking about environmental issues, truthfully, although I was a kind of do-gooder as a human being a little bit. And so I came out of law school and not knowing what I wanted to do, but I had some summer jobs, as you do as a law student, you get summer jobs, and ended up at an environmental law firm. I had very nice, but very keen corporate clients that were intent going just as far as the law required them to go and not any further. I had some really bad cases that I had to represent fairly, corporations that were not doing the right thing. Now, this was a long time ago when environmental law was just in its infancy. Although the guy that started Earth Day really is Dennis Hayes, along with Gaylord Nelson. And all of the environmental laws have been written in the 70s. So it wasn't like they weren't there, but the corporate environmental marriage hadn't really developed. It's completely different now. But back then it was, oh, do we really have to comply? Whatever. And so after a while, I thought, you know, I love the companies I work for. They're really good people. I started actually a small, but turned out to be great, criminal defense for environmental crimes practice inside my law firm. And that was amazing. And slowly but surely, you know, I evolved as a person, right? I'd done all these really interesting things, but suddenly I developed a true interest in saving things. I saw how bad pollution was. I saw how many people's lives were impacted in dramatic ways. Whatever. I was on the other side of Aaron Brockovich, if you will, but I ended up developing and that kind of passion for coming at this whole thing in a different direction. And I thought, well, I could stay here and make it work because I knew it would work over time. Or I could flip the switch and go to the non-for-profit side. So I did that and ended up at National Audubon. It was a great, great job. I was involved in the Endangered Species Act and wolf reintroduction. And my case went all the way to the Supreme Court. I didn't argue it. But I also have the claim to fame of not being able to tell one bird from the next to this day. Eventually, I ended up at Earth Day, and Dennis Hayes, the guy who started Earth Day, the organizer of it, he actually spent months interviewing me and probably a lot of other people. And finally, I got the job. And that was over 20 years ago. So I've been at Earth Day that long and have seen it grow from an organization that was primarily in the United States, and now we're in 192 countries, which I'm very proud of. And a billion people or so participate in Earth Day one way or the other. So you can imagine, you can reach a billion people. They do Earth Day for a week. Our mission is to diversify, educate, and activate the environmental movement worldwide. We're a movement-building organization, and that means we have to be a big tent. So I'm extremely proud of that. And I'm really proud of the fact that we are able to get so many people excited about it, that I also call us the Tom Sawyer of the environmental movement, meaning we get other people to paint our fence because we couldn't possibly do that by ourselves. But there is a keen interest, even if whether it's volunteerism or activism, and that those two worlds can be dramatically different.
Wow. I mean,
that's quite a story.
I'm kind of exhausted just listening to that.
That would be my headline, that, from Luge to lawyer.
That's a good one, actually. That is a good one. So I'm curious, Kathleen, you've probably seen many, many changes to Earth Day over your tenure, over the years. And I think it's kind of interesting, isn't it, that it kind of tracks along with, I guess, the cultural tide in some regards, and maybe just reflects what's going on around the world at any kind of particular point in time. Can you talk a little bit about how maybe the focus of Earth Day has changed from maybe where it was 5 or 10 years ago to where it's focused today?
We're this little basket at the bottom of the hot air balloon. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And it's kind of a paradox that while people learn more and more about the environment and integrate some pieces of it into their own lives, the problems are getting bigger and bigger. People feel less and less able to challenge the status quo. So our job is to constantly reinforce the concept that you can be an environmental citizen. I mean, it is, after all, the one thing in this divided, hopelessly sometimes divided world that we share, which is the planet. That's, well, the one thing we have in common. But our experience in the environment, if you live in places, countries that I love, like India, the pollution is staggering. And I've been there, I don't know. And they're very aware. They're becoming more and more aware. But the money is lacking. The political will is lacking. And so pollution just keeps going up. And it's everywhere. And in the United States, however, we have solved some of the major environmental issues. Clean air, clean water. I mean, it's certainly not perfect for everyone, but there's a sense that it is, which is really odd. So you have, on the one hand, countries that are experiencing more and more pollution, and you have countries, on the other hand, that have a seeming grip on it. And then you have this overarching problem of plastics, of climate change, of air pollution, and things moving in every direction. And so, in a sense, no one is safe and no one is protected from it. And so it's an ever-changing landscape. And so for Earth Day, we have to be something for everyone, to all people on the planet. And so that's the paradox, if you will, that we face inside Earth Day, where we're trying to bring more and more people into the movement. But the day after Earth Day, then what happens? And so it's we gin up a billion people, all of whom are out there learning about it or cleaning up or protesting or doing whatever. Companies are announcing their climate or other goals. It's a giant canopy of issues, many, many leaves hanging from the trees, all of which have different meaning for different people. And yet after Earth Day, it kind of falls back. And so one of our challenges is, how do we as a movement and everybody who does something for the environment keep that momentum going? And so that, I think, is the biggest challenge that we face inside Earth Day. It's very gratifying to find how many people are not just well-intentioned and that put their heart and soul into something, but they also have really good ideas. And Earth Day is an idea place where people come to us with all sorts of stuff, whether it's, I wrote this song for Earth Day, can you play it somewhere on your website too? We had a lot of those. Some of them are good. Are so good. But and they range from that to major, major projects where we plant 20 million trees for a company. Even Elon, who we gave an award to, celebrated Earth Day this year. I was very proud of him.
Well, he's due for a trillion dollar paycheck
today. I know. That's all you need. Just a small percentage.
You can't take it with you. Let's put it that way.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's so much going on. You have visibility to so much. It must be mesmerizing. You must be spinning so many plates in the background. I can't even begin to compute.
Well, what's making me think of Earth Day is almost a hub for all this activity, right? Because it invites creativity in a lot of ways. Like we joked a bit about the songs, but everybody's coming up with their own unique ways, and some really catch fire and go, but it becomes a hub and an aggregator of all these different things you can do so that they can be repurposed or amplified or whatever.
You know, one thing I learned when I walked in the door at Earth Day, I started really thinking about, what does the environment mean? So I looked it up in a dictionary. I actually just went and looked it up. And it said, this has probably been one of the big things in my life. It means what surrounds you, right? That's the definition of environment. What surrounds you.
Makes sense. Yeah.
That is what instructed me all through my tenure there, is if what surrounds you is beautiful, you naturally want to protect it. If what surrounds you is horrible and polluted, and I've been in so many heartbreaking neighborhoods where if the cities would just get it together and clean it up, the people would have much better lives. When you protect what surrounds you, it will allow you to not only be proud of what you've done, protective of what you've done, but it actually, you'll eventually, like a little pebble in a pond, you'll see the ripple effect. I mean, right now with plastics, 5 years ago, nobody was talking about plastics. That was our theme. And you should look at our Google Analytics. They're like skyrocketing searches on health and plastics. And now it's become an issue that's, in my view, almost as bad as climate change. It is so profoundly disturbing. And you're seeing hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars going into research on plastics and human health impacts. I'm not saying plastic isn't an incredibly practical thing. But unfortunately, like burning fossil fuels, it has negative impacts. And so how are you going to get people to protect themselves when it's so, like climate change, it's everywhere. And if you haven't seen that Bill Gates article on the front page of the New York Times a couple of days ago, where he said climate change isn't all that bad, but basically he made the case and the headline was, climate change won't wipe out humanity, but it will kill lots of poor people. And I felt like calling him up if I had a cell and saying, well, that's like saying, well, yes, the Titanic went down, but we were able to save the first class passengers. You know, it's that was, and now everyone's piling on and talking about how climate change may not kill everybody. Yes, there are going to be victims, billions of victims, but we will survive. But who are they talking about? Are they talking about just the rich people that will be able to protect themselves? Then they're not reading science, because the impacts of climate are not just about losing oceanfront homes. It's about drought. It's about food production. And I guess Earth Day is very much different in the sense that we deeply believe that everybody has a right to a decent environment, to a healthy environment, to one that's not going to, you're not born into one where you're automatically destined for lung cancer or skin cancer or whatever it is, because you don't have trees in your neighborhood or you don't you have a power plant in your backyard. There's a guy in LA right now that we're just trying to track down who just started cleaning up, kind of like Forrest Gump went on a run and everybody got behind him. And now he's got 400 or 500 people. He's just out there cleaning up. And someone said, oh, I guess I should help him. And then more and more and more people came. And now he's on the front page of the New York Times once again, this or the Washington Post, I can't remember, with this just guy who just went out and cleaned up and became like Forrest Gump's runner. And he has hundreds of people working for him. There's so many people like that. There's so many do-gooders in the world. I think we all are in our hearts. And certainly when it comes to our immediate environment.
I'm thinking about next year's Earth Day. And I know the focus on next year's Earth Day is really around renewable energy. And just thinking about everything you said, it just strikes me as such a contradiction that you have quite literally the answer to a better environment, better health, better well-being, better lifestyle,
yeah.
better economy. literally at our very fingertips with the technology and the scalability. And yet for whatever crazy reason, there seems to be an embargo and a block and a deliberate attempt to derail what is probably the best thing that could ever happen to the planet in terms of giving people clean energy and powering a new economy. What's your take on this?
Now we have the science. We get to reinvent everything. I do believe this is an unstoppable movement. And so what we are is watching, in historic terms, a blip on the radar screen. Just a blip. It's 4 years. We're in it. It feels tough. It feels like a giant payback to the people who donated a bunch of money. But guess what? It's not going away. God said, it's the first thing they said in the Bible, let there be light. You know, He didn't say, let there be oil. He said, let there be light. And so if the oil companies, for example, know they can drag their feet and still do the same old thing for 4 years, but let me tell you, they're not stupid. They know what's coming. They have massive companies. They have to turn that profit, that engine into something else. They are not going, they're not waiting. They're just not advertising, right? So they're going to continue to do the same old thing, just like the carriage makers were churning out carriages. That's what they did. They churned them out in record numbers to make them readily available to beat up the car. This train left the station. And then solar and wind, hydro, they're all going like gangbusters. You can't stop it. You can drag your feet. And nobody in their right mind thinks we're going to keep it under 1.5 degrees, which for most people, they don't even know what that means. It means drought. It means horrible weather. It means flood. And so I think we're at that place where the foot dragging is intentional, and it's built on political support, and that it will all collapse. And that's what's going to happen.
I'm going to cue back into what you were talking about, movement building and systemic change, because needless to say, Earth Day, I guess, is the spark that's trying to encourage people to change their behavior and change their worldview. And maybe just change their...
The comet to change the planet.
The comet to change the planet, as you often say. What's the hardest part? What's the biggest stumbling block in our ambition to try and encourage people to change their view or their belief or their behavior and come together as a community with a shared set of values and a shared ideal to make the world a better place?
People love the status quo. I love the status quo. You love the status quo. Human beings, they don't like to change. They are slow to making change. But that's where the uniqueness of Earth Day comes in. And I think the work we do is that they take off their armor a little bit and are more open because they're trying to do something for that what surrounds me. We thought we could scare everybody into doing something, but that was completely the wrong thing to do because fear just makes you look inward and it gives people anxiety. And that's one of the worst feelings in the world is to have anxiety. I think that everybody that works at Earth Day deeply believes that we owe something to everyone.
But I was remembering when we first were starting to do Grounded and we talked about what if we could turn the world's biggest problems into the biggest business opportunities? Like, how could you make that flip?
That's what Earth Day is truly about. Companies can make a lot of money if they go in the right direction. We may not be as smart as the companies are, but they're looking down the road 10, 15, 20 years and very practical about. And for the most part, I believe it's going straight down towards a healthier planet. That's what my deep belief is. And again, we're living in the middle of a mess right now. You know, I feel like my head's on a swivel stick because every day there's some new, I can't believe he's doing that thing. But I try not to get too weighed down by it because I deeply believe, above all, that human beings are good, and that most of us anyway, and that, that making environment a subject where we should disagree is a really bad way to go.
Well, I know we're right up against time. So, just one short closing question for you, Kathleen, if that's okay. What's your words of wisdom to impart in the hope that you can actually affect the change that you've been striving so hard to achieve through Earth Day?
I guess that nature is extraordinary. That what we were given is a miracle, regardless of where you think it came from. It is powerful in a bad way with storms, and it's stunning in its majesty in the mountains. And each little bug and insect and you name it has a purpose and role on the planet, even if I hate mosquitoes. It's an extraordinary web of life, and we're, for all intents and purposes, the protectors of it. And I find great spirituality in nature. It gives back. Not enough people have access to it. Nature calms us down. It's all you have to do is go out in nature and your anxiety level will drop. And this is a very, very anxious world. And we have been given a gift that is provides for us, is emotionally rewarding and spiritually rewarding. And I wish everyone had the same opportunity that I do and the people at Earth Day and you do have in connecting with it, because it really gives me hope.
That's brilliant.
Amazing.
I think that's a great mantra for Earth Day. We just need to go out and connect a little bit more with nature. If we just did that, you're right. You'd start to appreciate that miracle a little bit more because you'd feel it.
You're so welcome. You
really appreciate it.